Blog Talk Radio.
You know, there's a lot more room to fill with volume when you got us outside.
There really is, yeah.
We have, because everybody's talking real soft tonight.
Yeah.
But anyways, welcome. We're glad to have you with us tonight. It is Saturday night. This is question and answer night. And this is the night when it doesn't matter what Bible question you have. You can ask it. You can even ask questions about politics. I won't answer them, but you can still ask them.
Yeah. He might answer them.
But I will answer questions about religion. You know, everybody said don't talk about politics and religion, but we're going to talk about God and religion tonight. Mary, Pastor Rick, good to have you with us tonight, ma'am.
Hi, Mary. We had a couple of good questions last night, actually. They were early, but
yes,
they were good questions.
Very, very good questions last night. We're going to deal with them to a little more degree even tonight, because it is the foundation of everything we do, which is faith. And it doesn't matter what church you were introduced to, doesn't matter what aisle you walked down when you prayed the sinner's prayer, or if you were out in the woods sitting in your blind and you prayed the sinner's prayer. If you have been reconciled with Jesus to the Father, you're part of what we are. And then our place is to help you come to an understanding of who you are in the Father and who the Father is in you. And then as we gather that understanding, then we begin to totally change our world everywhere we go. And I don't know how many of you were out running around like we were today, but we saw a lot of lost people in this city today.
Oh, my goodness.
My Lord Jesus. My Lord Jesus.
It is something else, and you know, it's becoming more and more important every time you remember, as you're driving any place, pray over that region. Claim that whole region and every soul in it for the kingdom of God. Speak Jesus into it, because, wow, it's really becoming.
It is very interesting to me how throughout this city in different places that you can drive for a whole block and have the fragrance of marijuana.
Oh my!
For a whole block,
yeah.
Which
just out,
you gotta have a lot of marijuana being burnt to be able to smell it for a whole block. And I'm not against anybody that uses marijuana medicinally, or I'm not even against you if you smoke marijuana. I just want to say this to you: there's a real high, and his name is Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. And he'll get inside of your life and fix anything that you might be using that for medicinally. Because I'm not against people using natural herbs and everything for medicine. But when it's just there to recreationally get high and be stoned out of your mind, I got a word for you. You got to figure out how life is. So that your heart and your mind, your understanding is always clear.
Yeah.
Because Jesus gives you so much clarity in all of your life. Wow, what a start. So anyways, welcome. We're glad to have you with us tonight, as we are every night. This is Saturday night. And so on Saturday night, we have a question and answer session. And it doesn't matter who you are. If you got a question about God you've always wanted answered, even if you think we may all already know it, it doesn't matter. Ask it again, because there'll be somebody within the city to hear this statement made again. Just like last night, Brother Roger asked the question, how do we get our 100-fold return out of heaven to the earth? That's a really good question. Matter of fact, Sister Leanne and I studied it all afternoon. We truly did. And part of our study was listening to two messages with Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. And Brother Hagin taught over and over on the spirit of seeing and knowing. The spirit of seeing and knowing. And that is a place you get to on the inside of your life where you can, by the inward witness of God, be led on what to do, where to go, who to be with, who to be around. And Jesus said, send your peace out. So anyways, we're going to deal with that tonight. That was pretty powerful. And I'm going to tell Brother Hagin's story about the angel, because Jesus and his angel showed up one day in the same sanctuary with him at the same time. You want to hear some stories, you listen to Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, the man that's...
Oh, my goodness.
He preached for 60 years and ministered for 60 years around this nation. And the man's got some stories. And I think the greatest story he's got is his own testimony about how he himself was healed from the deathbed, because he actually died, went to hell twice, then started to go to heaven. And God said, no, go back. I need you still on earth to do some more stuff. So anyways, here we go. We might as well get started like we always do. So if you will, rise together with me. Let's make our pledge of allegiance. And then we're going to get ourselves moving here and have a good time studying God's word tonight. Now, some of you might say, I sure hope Mary or Roger ask a good question. Well, don't leave it up to Mary or Roger to ask a good question. You ask a good question. And listen, it doesn't even matter if you ask a bad question. If your heart's right and it's a question you have about God, then that's what God wants us to answer tonight. I see Mary's got one in there already, and we'll be dealing with that as soon as we get started. Rise together with me.
Got to get it. Want to grab a flag in there, bud?
Oh, Grandma moved him. Here we go. Rise together with me, and we'll make our pledge of allegiance. Isn't this cool? Isn't this like a cool setting?
It is. I love it.
There you go. Brother Michael. Here, I'll let you hold it. There you go. Brother Michael's going to get the flag. There we go. Let's see. What you would do is you would hold two hands like this.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, the wind's not blowing.
And this is your salute. You don't have to hold the flag and salute at the same time.
Okay.
All right, Brother Michael's got the flag up. Here we go.
Come on, man.
I pledge allegiance
to
the
flag
of the United States
of
America
and
to the republic for
which
it
stands.
One nation
under
God,
indivisible,
with
liberty
and justice
for
all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, those who in their lifetime, because of combat, carry the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. As you can see on my desk at home, I have a folded flag in honor of my dear friend, Brother Mike Welch, his brother, Kenneth B. Welch, who was killed in the bombing of the embassy in Beirut in 1984. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. During a moment of silence, it's always fitting and proper that you would stand silently in honor of their selfless service. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet And it makes you feel like you ought to cheer or something when you get done with that.
We had a bird flying by when we started singing.
Yeah, big bird.
Hallelujah.
Big bird.
Big bird.
Come on, birds. I want to hear the frogs chirping.
I can hear them.
You
can?
Huh?
Yeah, over there.
They were really singing the other night. Here we go. Let's begin with our prayer like we do every time we come here. Now, for those of you on the app, you'll find you'll slightly have a delay, but it's all right. We don't mind the lag. And if you're caught in the lag, the thing you can do is refresh. And that'll usually make it come back better. Hold on, everybody. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Passport, ribbit.
I wanted to hear the frogs. Did you guys get it? That's a Saturday night crowd right there. All right, here we go. Pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Hello,
and
Audrey.
Amen.
Hello,
welcome, brothers and sisters. Glad to have you with us tonight.
Yeah.
You can follow along with our prayer and this confession. This isn't you confessing sins. This is you and I speaking God's word to come to pass as we do his work.
Amen.
Ready? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil
running
down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. And now we will speak the unity in the body of Christ. Remember, Ephesians chapter 4 is a whole chapter that deals with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit inside of you and me, the body of Christ, and the fivefold ministry leading us into the place of growth and development in God. It's one of the most important chapters of your New Testament, right, in your Bible, unless you got a Bible that was made by a man of God that's going to get this chapter in your life. Here we go. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Say it with me. I have a calling.
I have a calling. Amen.
My Father gave it to me.
My Father gave it to me.
And he's bringing it alive today. Amen, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Say it with me. I have a grace that matches my call, given to me by God Almighty. You got to love it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all fullness of God. I hope that that statement rings inside of you every time you say it, like it does me. I've been around this kingdom since I was born, which is 59 years. But I just came to this revelation about the fullness of God and being one with God in the last 6 years. And I'm going to tell you, it motivates every day of my life that I get to be filled with the fullness of God. Why? Why would he do that? So that I could reach this world with the understanding Amen. Of who he is. And I just am amazed. Hear the birds?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's actually not a bird. That's a bat.
Is it? Where?
Ephesians chapter 4. He's out collecting mosquitoes. He's right there. Verse 14.
He's not going to collect people.
So, so that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And here's our declaration, like Brother Dutch always says, in our declaration, I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And now, let's pray over this great nation. Father, in the name of Jesus, again tonight, like we do every day, we say it. Revival in the executive branch. Revival in the judicial branch.
Amen.
Revival in the legislative branch. Lord, bring revival. We cast out every bit of wickedness that has tried to be rooted so deep into the very fiber of our nation. And we say, no, we're not. We are a righteous nation. And righteousness is exalting us as we do the work of God. Bless every person anywhere they may be tonight, in any patriotic event anywhere in this nation.
Yes.
May they start with prayer, the pledge, and may they include righteousness in their statement.
Amen.
Because that's what exalts. Thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And now, the patriot of dedication. The living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Now, just in case you didn't know, bats are good for your yard. All right. Now, they're not good for your hair. All right.
It looks really cute.
But bats eat a serious amount of mosquitoes.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're a fungus.
Just in case you didn't know, I recommend you get one of them bat houses and put them on a tree out there. Why? Because the bats will go to that house.
Yeah,
and then...
A bat house?
Yep. And then they'll go out there above that water where all the mosquitoes are.
Yeah, all of them.
And they'll just eat like crazy.
Yeah.
And...
Is a bat house like a bird house?
A bat house is like a bat house.
They're kind of flat and wide, and they have screens up
in there. And it's up in there like that, and then there's these things, and then the bats go up in there, and it's like that.
Never seen that.
And here's the cool thing about a bat house. It keeps them in the woods instead of in your house.
Yes.
That's
true.
If you get a bat in your house, I ask you to make a YouTube video of it because the whole world will want to see you catching that bat.
I call the state police in West Branch.
Now, there's nothing very spiritual about what I just told you. It just makes for a nice, fun backyard. That's all that was about, all right? All right, everybody, check this out. Sister Phyllis is with us. Program on my phone. Hold on.
Hello.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, it's good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I'm glad you called me. Have I missed the program completely again?
No, we're just starting.
Wonderful. Can I stay on for a little while?
Yes, you can.
You can stay on
the
whole time.
Is this the only way you can get connected?
I guess so, honey, because every app that I have on my phone tells me constantly they're not working.
Oh,
so,
no.
Isn't that something?
I feel like I'm lucky that I can call my boys and find out how they're getting along. You know, at least I can make phone calls.
Yeah.
Some phone calls.
Well, you might have to do a complete hard reset on that phone. Do you have an Apple phone?
It's something or other iPhone? Nokia, yeah. I'm going to have to get somebody that's technologically inclined to help me do something with my phone.
I use iPhone myself because iPhones are for phone dummies, and it makes it real simple. That's why I use it. But anyway, it's so good to hear your voice. Give us an update about John. We've all been praying and wondering about John and what's happening there.
Well, I talked to him a couple of days ago and told him, you know, that I'm sure that he's going to be fine, that he did the right thing. I mean, hindsight tells you that, oh, I should have gone ahead and expelled these boys. But no, you know, the boys that have been homeschooled, they don't have the experience of having to behave in classrooms so everybody in the class can have a good learning experience. Because they're the only one there at home, and it doesn't matter. But here in school, very gentle encouragement to remind them, keep their mouth shut in class so everybody else can hear the teacher, was not exactly the kind of punishment that I'm used to knowing about yeah. in school, where they beat you with a rod, they beat you with the yardstick, or they paddle you, you know about.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing happens in public schools all the time. I can tell you hundreds of horrible things that happen in public schools all the time. And to expel the child from school, with the government saying you got to send the kids to school, well, you'd just be damaging that child by forcing them to go to public school.
Yeah.
And so that would not have been good. And not whenever they're in a good Christian situation where they would be taught everything good. So John did the right thing, and I know that the good Lord is going to bless him for that. And I told him, keep a stiff upper lip and keep going and keep doing what's right.
Yep. Just keep.
And so he seems to think that everything's going to go okay. I'm really not concerned with whether or not he has any success in the political field. So if God wants him to do that, then that's the way it'll be. And if God is going to let somebody else kick him out, then so be it. That's not what John has to do, unless God wants him to do it. You know what I mean?
I do. And you know, there's a really amazing story about that Dr. Barclay tells, about a man who was a pastor in Australia or New Zealand, one of those two, and actually built a ministry to a nationwide, worldwide ministry. And then became equivalent to the Speaker of the House, like we would have in our national government. This guy was a pastor and made it all the way up to that level, and had an amazing influence on his nation. I think it was Australia. And so our faith is with John. If this is an assignment by God, may it come to pass. And if not, may see it quickly. And our prayer is that God makes our enemies suffer severely for what they've tried to do to this man of God that is just doing nothing but helping people in
yeah.
Jesus' mighty
Amen.
Name.
Well, he's trying anyway.
Amen. Amen. So none of your apps are letting you in, huh?
None. I get in occasionally for a couple of minutes. And then something happens. As soon as I start to send a message, I'm cut off. Have you noticed that I've sent a couple of messages that I only got a few words in?
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't think you were stuttering, but of course, I really wanted to hear the rest of your message. What'd you say, Roger?
I got an answer for that.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
Okay, she's got an Apple phone. You have to hit both the volume up and the on-off button that's on the, as you're looking at the phone,
yeah.
It'll be on the right-hand side. It does a master reset.
Oh.
I think it's eating the rock.
And
well.
Then you'll get like three options, cancel or close. Close. And shut it down for about 5 minutes. Hit the volume up and the on-off on the right-hand side at the same time.
Oh boy.
You'll get an Apple icon.
I hope you get it.
and they'll go ahead, you know, as it gradually downloads, then they'll come back on online then.
All right. So what you just heard is from a man who's learning to master his iPhone.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. So you have to hold the up button and the power button at the same time?
Yes, sir.
And that gives you a master reset.
Yes.
I think that's what I've been doing, and master is it resets it still.
Yeah.
Say they can't respond, so it didn't do me any good anyway. But
well, and there's also the mess of Meta or Meta or whoever they are now, and there's been a bunch of people that's had a mess on their phone and in their apps because they're messing. And they're doing it just to let us know that they're messing. And so, you know, most, as Brother Roger knows, get your grandkids to come over and help you.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, next weekend, we're going to Tennessee where all of my grandkids, not all of them, but about a dozen or so of my grandkids and my great-great-grandkids, and they'll be able to mess with my phone and get it to work again. But anyway, I have your Christmas card that you sent me, and it has your address on it, so I can write you by way of snail mail. So any really important things I want you to know, I can make sure you get it.
I got more information for you. It says that your phone has been compromised or hacked. It'll give you how many times.
That's fake.
If you click on that link, they will hack into your phone.
Yeah.
It is not Apple, because Apple has their own built-in security.
Right.
I should do cybersecurity.
So what do they do?
So what do you do with it?
It's nothing.
You either delete
all of it. Delete.
If you can.
History and, you know, it doesn't do anything to you.
As long as you delete it, it doesn't do anything to you.
Yeah,
right,
and
so don't even open it up.
Don't open it up, right.
Open it.
Yeah, because it's when you open up those things like that that you get the malware.
Yeah, it's all phishing malware.
It's all phishing malware?
Yeah.
Bass or pike?
Steelhead.
What?
Yeah, you should.
Steelhead.
And if you're down where Phyllis is, it's alligator. You know, it's no big deal. It's just fishing.
Well, if you get a friend request from Grandmother Phyllis, you will know that I have started a whole new account thing. Just drop everybody and just my immediate that I can trust family on Grandmother Phyllis account, because I've been for a whole week now. I haven't done anything harder except try to get this phone to work.
I hate that. I hate that, and I know that's on purpose. I hate that because they got you, and they've made us so dependent upon the phone that what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You sooner or later got to figure it out so that it'll work. And I encourage everybody, as you're trying, go get you an Apple because they're the easiest phones on the world.
Yeah.
You don't even have to figure them out. You just turn them on, and they do the dishes. They cook your food.
Yeah.
They vacuum the floor.
Mine doesn't do that.
They don't wash windows.
They don't. They do wash windows?
No, they don't wash.
Oh, they don't wash the windows. Well, you know, maybe you might want to stick with your Android. All right, now.
Android. Is that my problem?
That's what it is, Phyllis.
I don't know. Talk to Brother Dan. He knows a lot about the Android.
Yeah.
He can help you with it.
Brother Dan knows about Android. Brother Dan's got it mastered. And
okay.
Some of you don't know that Dan is an Android master.
He is.
He's probably rolling his eyes.
Well, every evening I'll complain to the good Lord that I wanted someone to read the Bible to me, and And it's like as if he hasn't told me personally, but I get the feeling that God is saying, but why can't you read it yourself? I don't mind if you have to pick up a magnifying glass. So, I mean, God's going to talk to me whether you read it to me or I read it myself. So,
okay.
Anyway, I'm interfering with your program tonight.
No. We haven't heard from you all week long. We're all missing you. So can you still get all of our messenger posts?
Kind of still. I can get a bunch. I can get some. But like I say, as soon as I try to leave a message, they cut me off.
Wow. Well, I think that's a problem inside the phone somewhere with the app interfering with the app. And
what's
just,
your issue?
Just keep. Every time she tries making a message, a comment, then it shuts the app off.
Oh, like it turns it makes the phone go black?
The whole phone shut off or just the app?
I get kicked off of Facebook, yeah.
Out of Facebook, right. Get kicked right off. But see, this is what we don't know, guys. And we're not going to talk about this all night, but it doesn't hurt to talk about this because this is a very serious issue that people don't realize, but we do because we're fighting this battle spiritually.
Yeah, every day. Yeah.
This is a battle that is against righteousness. And Sister Phyllis is a vocal statement, a vocal voice about it. And you might think, well, yeah, but Pastor, they're not really doing things to you. Quit trying to have a chip on your shoulder. No, I'm going to tell you right now, they're doing things to
us. Yeah,
they are. And they're opposing to keep us from being able to go and do. But we're still going and doing. And so in the middle of trying to figure out what's going on, I encourage you to also pray and bind every force of the enemy.
Amen.
Remember Isaiah 54:17. Let's grab that as our first verse as we're getting started tonight. Everybody open your Bible up to Isaiah 54:17. And we're going to start there for our launching verse tonight because this is one of the most important verses you can get to.
And you know what? While we're turning there, I just want to tell everybody, too, we got a message from our Donna Schubeck this morning, and her house is past inspection.
Okay.
So she will, she will be getting, waiting for the paperwork to get done, and she'll be back in her home soon.
So this is what Donna asked us to pray about. It's now back in the hands of the city. They got to do all their stuff. So her prayer is, that it doesn't get stuck on somebody's desk.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
The house passed inspection. The hot water's up. The pipes are free. Everything's taken care of like it needs to be. That means she should be able to get back in her house. And let's pray about that right now. Father, in Jesus' name, as her brothers and sisters right here on the community of faith, we declare over our sister Donna tonight, formed against her can prosper.
Amen.
And that she's able to get back into her house immediately. Somebody grabs this on their desk and says, I'm answering this one right here, right now, today. And they move it immediately across their desk into the situation where Donna can get home and be in her house and have her own stuff and her own belongings, cook her own food and be the patriotic, mighty woman of God that you've called her to be.
And be part of the program.
And be a part of our program and be a blessing to her family and get out of that place that's so freaked out about COVID. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare tonight that all of our technology functions perfectly, not only tonight, but every night, not only on my end, my technology. I speak to the internet and the satellite technology. I speak to everyone's technological device that they're holding in their hand sitting on a desk. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command it to work properly according to the word of God. in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Can we get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That echoed out.
I got a good amen in the back corner here. Now, let's hold our Bibles up. Let's get into the Word of God for this evening.
YouTube.
Ready? Here we go. Everybody make this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I go do what He tells me to do.
I go do what He tells me to do.
Because He is the great I am.
Because He is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life tonight. I receive the word of God. Plant him as a seed in good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, Isaiah 54:17. Now, naturally, with Saturday Night Live, we call it Saturday Night Jesus is Alive, because we don't want to be known by them other guys and what they do. But our focus tonight is to help people get questions answered that they've never had answered before about God's holy word and about God. And here's the cool thing. It doesn't matter what question you have. The important thing is ask it, because there's no stupid question. And what we've found out as we continually do this program like this is that if you have the question, somebody else is going to have it too. And when you ask it, they might not have had the courage to ask it, because you ask it, they get the answer, and so does everybody else. All of us living and working together on these answers, God gives us a new revelation on a regular basis. You know, the amount of information, the amount of revelation I've received from God's holy word since I was born again is a major amount of revelation. It's not just, I got Jesus in my heart. Thank God you got Jesus in your heart. I'm glad. How many are glad you got Jesus in your heart?
Hallelujah.
But it's so much bigger than having Jesus in your heart, because we were studying with Brother Hagin tonight, this afternoon, and he made a statement. He said, I had a pastor come to me one time and say, Brother Hagin, I got a mess going on. And I don't know how to solve this. And I'm a mess. My brain's a mess. My mind's a mess. I can't eat and I can't sleep. Now, how many of you think that'd be a bad place to be?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Brother Hagin said, well, you came to the right spot because I can help you. That's pretty cool. And the man said, well, what do I do? And so Brother Hagin gave him a specific set of verses to read. And the man said to him, let's let the airplane pass over.
Love it.
Don't
love
you
it.
Love the
love
sound
it.
Of an airplane?
Yes. Hey, Dave, are you seeing any snow yet? How are the...
You're not asking me that, are you?
No. No, we were
asking... We don't even see snow in wintertime.
No, we forgot to ask Brother Dave how much snow is happening already in Williston tonight.
I
but
see it.
You can see it. I am not out in it. All right. But anyways, Brother Hagin said, as he told the man what to say, this is what the man said back to him. And this was a powerful statement. He said, but Brother Hagin, if I had as much faith as you, and I was as strong in faith as you are, then I could do exactly what you showed me, but I don't know God like you do, and I'm not strong in faith, so that's not going to work for me. And Brother Hagin gave him one of the greatest answers I've ever heard. He said, sir, you have the same Bible I have, and you have the same Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And the same God that showed me how to use this book is showing you how to use this book. And if you'll trust him like I learned to do when I was in the situation you're in, you'll be in the exact same place I'm in. And he said, the man called 3 months later and said, you know what, Brother Hagin? When you said you got the same Bible I do and the same God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit inside, he said, I thought, you know what, that's right. God doesn't have any favorite child except me. Everybody say, I am God's favorite child.
I am God's favorite child.
Now, fellas, I don't want to have to argue with you right on the air, but I mean, I know I am God's favorite child.
It would take me hours to tell you how many times God has saved my life.
Amen. Amen. And isn't it something that our Father has got a billion kids, and we are each one singularly his favorite child? And he's got a billion children. Go ahead.
It's just like the sun shines on all of the trees. And every one of those trees feels extra special, like they're getting all the sun that they need. And it doesn't matter how much sun the other trees are getting, each tree feels like God loves me.
Yep.
Amen,
Phyllis. Amen. Isaiah 54:17. Look at this verse. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, some of you don't have that revelation yet, and you need to get it. Now, like, get it deep, way down inside, not just surface. Get it deep. No weapon that any enemy forms against you can prosper. But it doesn't say that they won't be formed. It does say they will be formed. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. So many Christians are like, Jesus, would you just condemn these people? And God's up in heaven saying, no, you do it. You do it. I will empower you as you condemn those words. Look what it says. This is your inheritance as a servant of the Lord. And one translation says, as children of the Lord. And our righteousness is from Jesus. This is the very first verse I ever read when the revelation hit me that my righteousness was not going to be the righteousness that worked. I was going to have Jesus' righteousness. This is the first verse that began to teach me that revelation. That was a life-transforming revelation. It truly was. I've never been the same. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to see every bug you can imagine tonight on my screen because I got that really white light and I got this really white light. And I have seen the most amazing bugs tonight, and it's pretty cool. And they climb right up, and it's when they get to the top by the Holy Spirit word, they jump off like, whoa, that's hot. I can't be on that one. But see, it doesn't matter what weapon any enemy forms against you. The answer that every one of us got to come to is we got to start seeing a weapon as a weapon and calling it a weapon so that you and I will resist it, condemn it, and realize that God said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. None. The enemy's going to form them. They're going to try to, the enemy's going to make all kinds of stuff happen. But he's a non-issue in our life.
Amen.
Say this with me. The enemy is a non-issue.
The enemy is a non-issue.
You might say, yeah, but Pastor, you should feel what I feel in my body. I've been there. From March of 2021 through January of 2022, I had abdominal pain in my stomach every single day. I didn't know what it was, but Thank God COVID was happening. I had no desire to go in a hospital since COVID started. And I'm like, well, it don't matter. I'm getting healed because I'm not going in no hospital. Not after what I heard about the hospital in Williston. Ain't no way I'm going in there. No way. Mate, you're going to stick that thing up my nose, and no matter what, you're going to tell me I have COVID and try to give me a shot? Ain't no stinking way I'm going to the hospital. Let me just give you a COVID advice. If you know somebody coming down with COVID, tell them to go lay out in their yard and get the sun. The sun will kill it. Don't tell them to run to a hospital and hide inside a room with the drapes closed and something stuffed over your face. All right, I'm off it now.
Yeah.
No weapon formed against you can prosper. Why? This is part of our inheritance. Look at that verse. Say this with me. My Father.
My Father. Yours.
Protecting me every day.
Protecting me every day.
Is going to cause every weapon.
Is going to cause every weapon.
To fall useless.
To fall useless.
In Jesus' mighty
in
name.
In Jesus' mighty
in
name.
In Jesus' mighty name. That's financial weapons. That's spiritual weapons. That's physical weapons in your body. But here's the answer, guys. You and I have got to be the ones. We got to use our mouth and speak to that thing that's showing up and say, you fall apart now. Now, let me go to Job. Everybody go with me to the book of Job.
All right.
Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
Let's go to Job. I think it's 26, right? Where Job says, teach me what I've said wrong.
Oh.
Well, it wasn't 26. Let's try 36.
Job 34:32.
Job 34:32. I missed it altogether.
Some of us lost power, Dave. Do we have it back now?
Wow. Well, that's not the verse I was looking for either, although that's a good one. All right. But anyways, no, should he repay? Let's see. Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. But it actually says, I will put a guard over my lips.
Oh, yeah.
But now we got to find which translation it's in. But anyway, if you find it, one of you look that up, and we'll keep going here. I thought I had it nailed really good in verse 26, but that's not it.
I remember memorizing that verse once upon a time, but I don't remember where it was from.
I remember as we read through it, I'm like, there it is again right there. But anyways, we'll find it. Now, one of the most important things you and I have got to learn to do is we've got to learn to guard our own lips.
Yeah. Wow.
And if you want to talk about, if somebody starts talking against you, don't tell everybody else about them. Isaiah 54:17. The prophet Isaiah is prophesying for the Father, and he said, condemn the lips, condemn them. Every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. Just like for Brother John, all these people rising against him right now, condemn those lips. Well, Pastor, why do we condemn somebody else's lips? I thought there was supposed to be no condemnation. Well, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but there's a whole lot of condemnation to people that are doing wrong. Now what? When people are doing wrong against you, condemn their words, and your heart will not talk about them. I want to get this. If you could see all of the flying items that's in this yard right now, it would be quite the sight.
We have a good wind.
We might see a scurry of activity from the female gender that would be rather amazing. Now.
Oh, yeah, there's another
one. Isaiah 54:17. I really want to focus on this tonight because this is of utmost importance to us. Hey, Brother Dave, my, he's talking like crazy. I can't even see it. It's blizzarding again. Wow.
Power outages. We have bugs and we have shingles flying everywhere. My
wait, we didn't pray for North Dakota. Everybody pause. I'm gonna get back to condemning words, but let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we speak to this storm in North Dakota now. Now we command you, storm in North Dakota and on the upper plains, northern plains. We declare in the mighty name of Jesus, according to Genesis chapter 1. That we are to be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion. Snow is normal, but not in May. All right? And moisture falling on the ground is normal. And we declare no more blizzard, no more driving snow, no more blizzard. And if the snow comes, we declare that it is melted by morning, because the temperatures warm up, and now we move from the snow of March to the beautiful spring of April so that we can have Mayflowers and bring some pilgrims.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Tell me you missed it. That was a good joke in the middle of the prayer. Mayflowers bring pilgrims, okay?
Now we get it. Okay.
I'll do better next time to not make a joke in my prayer. We speak it right now in the name of Jesus. Blizzard, stop. Now, you ready? Watch this. This is the verse we're studying. I condemn the statements out of the weatherman's mouth. This is going to be bad. It's really bad. It's bad. Who knows what to do? It's so bad. We condemn those words. And we say, drop the fear. We receive the moisture. And now, storm, you listen to the men and women of God. Snowfall, but no more destructive wind in the mighty name of Jesus. Destruction, you're bound. We don't need the snow to blow off the field. We need the snow to land and melt straight down and put moisture back in the ground. We speak it now in the name of Jesus. We don't condemn the people. We just condemn their fear-filled words. And we speak words of faith that are, be fruitful, multiply, subdue this earth, and take dominion. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's go to another verse of scripture here. Now,
Mary had a question.
Yeah, Mary's question. That's what I want
to
get.
Isaiah 54:17.
Mary said, Mary's question was, I just learned that 40 stripes would have killed Jesus. I know it talks about 39. Does the Bible address the fact that they stopped at 39? I also read that all illness fits into the 39 categories. Yes, it does. In those 39 stripes, Jesus dealt with every strand of sickness that could ever be, that could ever come upon the human, the human body. He bore stripes for our healing. So it doesn't matter what sickness or disease comes in the future, It must bow to those 39 stripes on Jesus' back. Now, where does it say 39 stripes? It does say it.
It does say it.
It does say it. Now, that's the verse he's on, yes. All right, now. All right, so. Now. I'll just tell you what I'm finding out right now, Mary. You asked the question. And in order to cut to the chase, I'm going to let anybody else see if they can find it in the Bible. But I went straight to the Bible Hub so that I could get my answer and come up with a good answer. Now, I'm just going to read from this writing. Everybody listen to this statement. Just before his crucifixion, Jesus was scourged by the Romans. The Bible does not directly indicate how many lashes Jesus received. Deuteronomy 25:3 states that a criminal should not receive more than 40 lashes. In order to avoid possibly accidentally breaking this command, the Jews would only give a criminal 39 lashes. So it wasn't the Romans, it was the Jews, according to the law in Deuteronomy 25:3. All right. Now, the Apostle Paul mentioned this practice in 2 Corinthians 11:24. It says, five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Again, though Jesus was scourged by the Romans, not by the Jews, there is no reason to believe that the Romans would follow a Jewish tradition. Scourging was the punishment ordered for Jesus by Pontius Pilate. He was to be flogged, but not killed in that way. His death was to be carried out by crucifixion after the scourging. So that is a very, very good definition of it. Now, let's look at that verse, Deuteronomy 25:3. Deuteronomy 25:3. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse number 3. Let's read 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 25, 1 through 3. Are you reading tonight, brother? Deuteronomy 25.
This thing's on and off about charging.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Here you go. Grab that one. That pink one, yeah. Strawberry one. I don't want to say pink. You're a man.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah, well, now I can read.
That?
My phone's ready.
That light red one.
You don't want to tell a young man, pick that pink one up. That'd be bad. I use it. I just make Sister Lynn hide it in her purse.
Deuteronomy
chapter 25, verses 1 through 3. It feels good to have to swap bugs for once. It really does feel good.
You said two?
25, oh, 1 through 3.
I think his because of the light.
When two people have an argument, they should go to court. The judges will decide which person is right and which is wrong. If the judges decide a person, the person must be beaten with a whip, the judge must make that person lie face down. Someone will beat the guilty person while the judge watches. The number of times he must be hit depends on the crime. Don't hit anyone more than 40 times during the punishment, because more than that means that their life is not important to you. When an animal is being used to separate grain, you must not cover its mouth to stop it from eating.
All right.
I also want to say, that back in times when you were whiplashed, but like how they did to Jesus, if you had more than 39, you were killed, because 40 was the max amount of the human body could take in suffering.
Yep. And of course, here in this verse, God said it's also going to create a humiliation. There's punishment for the act that you did was wrong. But then, like he just said, especially the Romans, because those whips had chunks of bone and glass and steel in them, and they were designed to rip your flesh off. Well, 40 times across your back, you could rip a lot of flesh off. There would be nothing left of you. And the Romans didn't want you to die from the scourging. They wanted you to die from the crucifixion. These were some wicked people.
They were brutal, wicked people.
Yeah,
they did.
Now, go with me to Isaiah chapter 53, and let's go to verse 4 and 5, because these are the verses that deal with the 39 stripes of Jesus. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Now, you got to find Sister Sunday. Did she go to YouTube?
Yeah,
no? All right. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely, you going to read, Michael? Go ahead. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Isaiah 53.
That's Isaiah 53. Is it first time? No, that's
ISA.
No, I know. There's three books. 53?
Yep.
Verse
4 and 5.
Okay. The fact is, it was our suffering he took on himself. He bore our pain, but we thought that God was punishing him, that God was beating him for something he did. But he was being punished for what we did. He was crushed because of our guilt. He took the punishment we deserved, and this brought us peace. We were healed because of his pain.
There it is. Now I'll read. Now he read that from
somewhere else.
He read that.
It definitely wasn't from my translation.
Yeah. No, go ahead, fellas. Read it from yours.
Okay. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed.
Amen. And so when Jesus was beaten, it was so that you and I could totally and completely, in one act of receiving his work done, be totally set free from all of it.
Hallelujah.
By the way, ERV version is, or the ERV translation is the most easiest to read in English.
The easiest to read in the English language.
The
ERV? The ERV. Easy read.
Easy read version.
Easy read version. Now, I don't mind having him read that, because it helps you and I see how much we like our King James and the New King James. Now, I said all of that to focus that statement that we were making to Mary about the 39 stripes. But I want you to see this, and I'm going to just keep saying it. You receive all of the benefits of those stripes by simply asking and receiving. Just, it's that simple. You ask him, and then you receive it. Listen, that's the whole kingdom.
If you do not ask, then you will not receive it.
If you do not ask, he's not walking down the sidewalk forcing it on you. Even, get this one, even Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus?
Yeah.
Zechariah.
Everybody turn there. Let's go to Zacchaeus in the New Testament. Let's read his story.
Is it pronounced?
That's a good one. I do not know the reference, so.
Are you talking about Zechariah?
No, no.
No, Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus is a person. Zacchaeus was a wee. Everybody sing while we're fighting. A wee little man.
He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior.
No. Luke 19:1-10. Luke. No. Zacchaeus is the guy, and he's that we want to read his story, and he's found in Luke 19. Luke 19, and we're going to read verses.
He needs a raise.
He what?
I think he ought to give Leanne a raise.
I think so too, Phyllis. Thank you.
I think so too.
What verse?
All right, so now we need the rest of the women to speak up and say how much of a raise she gets. Luke 19:1-10. Here we go.
All right.
1-10.
Jesus was going through the city of Jericho. In Jericho, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a wealthy, very important tax collector.
Okay, wait. What kind of a tax collector?
Wealthy. Very important.
Wealthy and very important IRS agent. Keep going.
Verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was. There were many others who wanted to see Jesus too. Zacchaeus was too short to see above the people. So he ran to a place where he knew Jesus would come. Then he climbed a sycamore tree so he could see him. When Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and saw him in the tree. And Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus hurried and came down. He was happy to have Jesus in his house. Everyone saw this, and they began to complain. Look at the kind of man Jesus is staying with. Zacchaeus is a sinner. Zacchaeus said to the Lord, "I want to do good. I will give half of my money to the poor. If I have cheated anyone, I will pay them back four times more." Jesus said, "Today is the day this family to be saved from sin. Yes, even this tax collector is one of God's chosen people. The Son of Man came to find lost people and save them."
And to save them that were lost. Now watch this. What we just said is what we were dealing with is the stripes of Jesus. How Jesus did it all. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement for your peace. When you do wrong, you deserve a whipping. So the chastisement, he was your transgression, your iniquity, and the chastisement for your peace. He took it all himself. And by his stripes, every one of them stripes was so that you would be healed. But here's the thing. You don't get just a little salvation and then leave some that's not saved. You don't get just a little healing and then leave some that's not saved. You don't get just a little bit of deliverance. You're supposed to be completely delivered from God.
Amen.
Delivered by God. Now, I want you to see this about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was so serious about coming to Jesus, he was willing to go down the street ahead of Jesus and climb a tree. Now wait, remember what it says about Zacchaeus in verse 2. He was a chief tax collector, and he was very important.
Very rich.
But he was short.
And
so there was only one way he was going to get to see Jesus, and it was only for a moment when Jesus came by. So it's not like he could get the tree up and walk it wherever he went. As Jesus came underneath of him, he was going to be able to see Jesus. But this is what Jesus did. Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and said, "I want you to come down because I can tell you're chasing after me and you want to know who I am. Everything in this kingdom is based on your desire and mine," which has been our study all week long. all things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible to them who are who actually believe.
And we believe.
And we believe. Anybody else want to shout it? And I believe.
I believe.
I believe. How about the Zoomers? Let's get a Zoomer shout. Wait, I was going to shout, Pastor, but I can't figure out where my phone is. Amen. Now, I want you to think about this, because this is where we're going to be tonight. Jesus was so serious about Zacchaeus and his willingness to humble himself in front of that whole city that he looked at Zacchaeus and said, I'm going to go to your house. Even though the tax collector was the most shunned man in the whole community. He was not loved in any sense of the word because he's the one that came and got the tax money from him. And he's the one that if you didn't pay your taxes, could have you thrown in prison. King, he worked for the ruling authority, whoever it was. So he was not loved, no different than when the IRS bloats out with the Democrats, none of us love it. Now, if you've never had it, I had it. They audited me every year for 6 years because I had the name Patriot.
When he says what?
Now, this is an interesting statement that most scholars believe. As Zacchaeus started for his house, his transformation was so complete that he said to Jesus as they went, most of them believe that he said it as he went, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. And anybody that I have wrongfully take money from, because that's what they did. They were dishonest. They worked for the king, and they could take what the king's taxes was and take more, and they did that. And that's why everybody hated him so much. That's why the Jewish people, look at who Jesus is going home with to eat lunch. That's one of the most wicked men in our community. But see, you know, you see what Jesus saw in that man?
Yeah, I think he's walking with him too, when he
says, yeah.
Look, Lord. Yeah, you know,
yep.
Trying to get his attention. Look, Lord, and I'm not going to be bad anymore. I'm going to do this, you know. I'm going to do what you tell me to do.
But it's immediate.
Yeah.
Immediate.
As soon as you start contacting God, your very nature is, wait, I'm not going to do bad anymore. You might have some lingering sins that hang around you. And
anointing really changes.
What's that?
Anointing. Literally changed me.
That anointing, no, literally.
We see it.
Amen.
We see it.
I think that anointing got me away from the one thing that I personally was trying to work on God.
Amen.
Work with him.
And I'm going to anoint you again before you go home tonight, so don't leave early.
I don't got anywhere to be tomorrow.
All right.
So it's important. It's very important. I found that out, too, when I came to see you with faith. When God tells you something or brings it up, you say, yep. Okay.
Don't reject
it's
it. You're rejecting
it. Yeah.
No, not
reject it. Say, okay, it's done. You know,
yep. I agree.
Yeah.
He can't work on you if you're not willing.
Whatever he says to you that hits you in the face that you're bad or that, you know, it's out of your life, Francetta. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
You know, forgive me. I'm sorry. It's out of my life.
If you can't hear what Sister Francetta is saying, let me restate it, because she tonight is preaching, all you guys quit being such bad people. she didn't say that, okay?
Sam, did your camera go off?
Did my camera go off?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I can't see. No, the background is not light anymore.
Oh, well, no, I stopped this camera, so I'm not using extra... extra space. That's just on
the
my
immediate is what's important.
Right, right.
Yeah.
The immediate for tithing, the immediate for no sexual partners, the immediate for everything that's pure. I mean, you know, and you get blessed.
Yep.
And you're so blessed, and you're
changed. You're blessed the more you seek him.
and accept him.
Yeah.
Now, just in all fairness, so that if anybody didn't think I was joking, I was just having fun, right? Her statement is, when God speaks to you about anything in your life, be quick and immediate to say, yes, sir. I'm going to do it right now. When he says side, side. When he says so, so. When he says love, love. When he says get this out of your life,
get it out of your life.
Sister Leanne and I, the other day, we were driving over here and come around the corner, and there was a theater sitting there. And I realized I don't have any desire to even go in one of those buildings anymore. Zero. That's, I'm not bragging. I have given myself so much to the Word of God that to sit down for 2 hours in that building and pay somebody that kind of money for popcorn and pop. That just is crazy. I can pop popcorn at my own house and watch Brother Hagin. Why would I want to watch somebody else, all right? And they won't play Brother Hagin. I'd love to have Brother Hagin that big on the screen up there.
If you go to the movies and you get the largest popcorn possible and largest drink, it's like
$23.
$23. Wow.
$24, yeah.
I remember it used to be
15. Oh, my goodness.
15
cents.
But what are you saying, Pastor? Number one, I'm not bragging. Number two, what I'm saying is we have given ourselves to chase God in this manner so serious that there's no desire for it even. Why? I'm not going to give up 2 hours of my day that I want to chase after God to go chase after that, and what? I get done. I didn't solve any problems in the world. I made some movie star rich, and I paid to keep some kind of perversion pumping in that building, and I'm not going to do that. All right? And popcorn doesn't taste that good when I have to pay $25 for it.
We must be in the Lord as often as possible.
Now watch. If you come to North Dakota, we have a big bag of popcorn that's about this big. It's huge, and it's only $7. I'll send them in the mail to you. Don't spend that money on a movie.
I can get you a 20 foot long thing of popcorn for like $20.
No.
We did go to a movie once.
Yes, oh, jeez. We well, when you're under the anointing, the truth always comes out. Here it comes.
We went to see I Can Only Imagine.
Oh, yes.
Came out. In the Christian films, yeah.
All right, Christian film, I might do.
Yeah.
Or if Brother Hagin was there, I'd do it. If Brother Hagin was there, everybody would be there because he'd be like, whoa, this dude come back from heaven.
But wait,
let me make sure this is going really bad on me, and I really got to circle this wagon here and get this right. I'm not telling you you're going to hell if you watch a movie. I'm not telling you that.
Right.
In any sense of the word, you go watch whatever you want to watch. I wouldn't recommend you watch anything that's got cussing, swearing, sex, drugs, rock and roll, hate, murders, violence.
But like you said,
oh wait, what are you going
to
watch?
Yeah.
Anyways, the point is for us, I was so encouraged driving by that building to just realize I don't need anything in that building. I find everything I need right here on YouTube. And let me tell you Brother Hagin's story.
It's a distraction away from God.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Brother Hagin's story. It might be my last story, and then we'll take communion and we'll be done. I was already instructed that I had to be short tonight. Oh, I wasn't told to be short. I was told don't go long. But what we have to understand as men is how do you define what your wife just said? But check this story out. Brother Hagin, in a city in Texas somewhere in the beginning of his ministry, or sometime in his ministry, and it was an 8-week-long meeting at this church. 8 weeks. Now, that's amazing. And he said at one point in that time, they called a week of prayer. So every night when they came to church that week, they would spend the night in prayer. And he said, I didn't do any teaching. I just maybe might give you a verse, but we just would get together and pray. He said Thursday of that week, so they'd prayed Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. That was the Wednesday. It was the fourth night of prayer. He said, we had been praying for, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes. When you hear him tell the story, believe him. 45 minutes. And he said, I had been singing in the spirit to myself. And he said, I looked up and there stood Jesus and an angel right on the platform with me. Now, I don't know. Yeah, I do. I know every single one of us would love to see Jesus and an angel standing on the platform with us. And he said, Jesus began to talk to him. And he said, my first question for Jesus is, who's the big guy? Because he said he was so tall, his head was touching the ceiling of the church, the angel.
Oh, yeah.
And cool. Brother Hagin said, that's your angel. Or Jesus said to Brother Hagin, that's your angel. I want you to get this story about seeking God. He said, God sent him with a message for you. And Brother Hagin looked at Jesus and said, why would the angel bring me a message when you yourself are standing here and can give me the message? He said, because when God sends a message by an angel, it's coming to you by an angel, not by me. Wow. Say this with me. I'll take a message from God.
I'll take a message from God.
Whether it's by an angel,
yeah, by an angel
or by Jesus.
Or by Jesus.
I receive it from the Word. I receive it from the Holy Spirit.
There you go.
Amen. I will receive a message from God. Now listen, I want you to get this. There was two men that had come to Brother Hagin, three men that had come to Brother Hagin and said, if you move your ministry headquarters to our city, we'll buy you a building. We'll put all the equipment you need in it. We'll duplicate all your tapes for you, and we won't charge you for any of it. We really love your ministry. Well, I mean, you know, that's a pretty big deal. You want to know how big the deal is? Brother Hagin, at the time of this recording, had sent 65 million tapes around the world. That's how huge that picture was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what the angel said. Do not do what those men are asking you to do, because their heart is not right. That was the message the angel had for Brother Hagin the same day Jesus showed up. Now, and Brother Hagin said, so we just did it ourselves. Why? Because now nobody's ulterior motive can stop the work of the ministry. Now, all three of those men's motives were exposed in the matter of a couple months. What did Jesus do? What did the angel do when he brought that message to Brother Hagin? He saved the whole ministry. He saved his whole ministry. Why? Because he was going to go with it. Who wouldn't like somebody to buy you a building and put all the equipment you need in it? That sounds like a pretty good deal. But when you have to relinquish the control of who you are to let somebody else do it, that's not a good idea, because as a man of God, you must be responsible and accountable to God first, because he's the boss. He's the one that we're all working for. Now, watch this. Then Jesus began to talk to Brother Hagin about knowing and seeing how to hear God's voice and to read this book and get an understanding of who God was. And a demon showed up and starts, yak. And he said the demon was so loud that he said, I couldn't even hear what Jesus was saying. And he said, I looked at Jesus as if to say, why aren't you stopping this demon? And he said, I finally got so tired of it, I said, oh, shut up and get out of here. And he said, just like a dog with his tail between his legs, he ran out the back door of the church and left. And he said, I could hear Jesus talking. I want you to get this. And Jesus said to him, no, he said to Jesus, why didn't you do something about it? He said, Kenneth, it's not my job to do that. That's your job. I'm in heaven empowering you to have power over all the power of the enemy. If you don't tell that devil to shut up, it won't shut up. No weapon formed against you can prosper, but you're going to have to tell the weapons you don't have any effect on me. Think about, about 6 months ago, every service when we came on here, we spoke over our technologies that all of our technologies would function properly.
Yeah. Wow.
You guys hear me say it regularly. You are my computer. I command you to work properly. See, if you and I, amen, Brother Dan, that is a good word. Jesus said to him, if you hadn't told it to shut up, I couldn't. Jesus literally said, I couldn't. Why? Because he has delegated that authority into your hands and mine. Shut up. Of all the time for an echo to come. Shut up. Now, but see, that's where you and I got to get really bold in our life. And we've got to just daily take authority over everything that's going on around us. No weapon, not weather, not bad people, not nothing. Nothing bad can form against me. No weapon formed against you can prosper. And every tongue, that's a tongue that's spoken into your face. That's a tongue spoken behind your back. That's something written on the internet. That's anything that is a word being spoken in any way against you. You must condemn those words. Why? It is your inheritance. It's your heritage to take control over your life and your being. Over and over, you're going to have to say, I am not the sick. I am the well. And I command my body to be strong, no symptoms in it. All week long, I fought symptoms. But guess what? I don't care what you bring. I am not the sick. I am the healed.
Amen.
I am the healthy. I am the whole. God said in 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Let's get that out of the ERV, 3 John 2. Brother Michael's going to read 3 John 2.
Read loud, Michael, who were saying they were having a hard time with.
Oh, definitely.
You can even come stand right beside me if you want.
Yeah.
All right. I'll show them quiet.
3 John, 3 John, verse 2. 3 John is backed by Brother Jude in Revelation. Actually, read 1 and 2. 3 John, chapter 1, only one chapter, verses 1 and 2.
Some people don't think I'm loud enough. Greetings! Greetings from my elder.
You don't want to wake your neighbors up. I got neighbors.
To my dear friend Gaius, a person I truly love, my dear friend, I know that you are doing well spiritually. So I pray that everything else is going to be well with you and that you are enjoying good health. Some believers came and told me about the truth in your life. They told me that you continue to follow the way of truth. This made me very happy. It always gives me the greatest joy when I hear that my children are following the way of truth.
Amen.
Wow, that is a really different version of it. I like
Amen.
That. Like, yeah.
But I want you to see this. Third John 2 says, I wish above, in my translation, says, I wish above all things that you may prosper. Now, that said that you're doing good. And that you be in health. Health is the process of daily living in great strength. You're healthy. I am not sick. In Jesus' mighty name.
Now, no one can say I'm not loud ever
again. Amen.
I would love to see their Holy Spirit be louder.
Now, what is the focus of what we're saying here tonight? The because I got to really get focused here. Our verse of scripture for tonight, and I think our theme for tonight is the same thing it's been all week. And that is, all things are possible to them that believe. And tonight we've been dealing with, no weapon formed against us can prosper. And every one of us have got to take authority in our own personal lives and stand boldly and strongly. This is the serious part of it. Like Brother Dan said back there a minute ago, good word right there. You and I are the ones that's living our life. I can't confront for you what you're dealing with in your life, because I'm not living your life. And I can call you up on the phone and say, what are you dealing with? And you tell me, and I'll confront it. But then when the phone call is done, now you've got to be the person back in control of your own life, confronting that, condemning words being spoken against you, and standing strong on the promises of God. And you being the one responsible for your health, your mental soundness, and most of all, your personal relationship being in perfect tune with the Father, because God has no grandchildren. Have you ever noticed that?
That's true.
He only has children.
He only has children, amen.
That means you can't get to heaven on your mama's shirt tail or her apron strings or her apron. You got to get to heaven on your own. You and I have all got to look the devil in the face and say, you cannot form that weapon against me. Weapon dematerialized.
Amen.
That's why we got to have the shield of faith. What is faith? Faith is when you speak to that mountain, be removed. Faith is when you condemn the words being spoken against you. They have no effect on you. That's what faith is. When Brother Dan taught that lesson here a month ago, He taught us that hope is that earnest expectation. And when you're living in that, you and I have got to confront any doubt as soon as it shows its face. Just confront it. I bind you in Jesus' name. I command the words of the devil to fall to the ground useless. They cannot have an effect on me. And the most important words that you're ever going to cast down is when your own mouth is saying words that's going to take you astray.
Yeah, amen. And boy, we have to be really careful about the things you say about yourself. You claim so many things that are of the enemy.
Yeah, and they all said, can you please say that a little louder?
Oh. Now I'm not loud enough. Like,
how awesome, because I was just saying that a little while ago. Amen, Dave. Amen. See, guys, we Sister Leanne and I go to war for you every single day. We pray the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it be yours every single day. We ask God to bless you, and we include you in our prayers for faith and great, amazing miracles and signs and wonders happening. But when that prayer is all done, it can't overpower your prayer, and your prayer is more important than our prayer. Why? Because you got the same God that I got. You got the same Jesus I got. You got the same Holy Spirit I have. You have the same Word of God that I have. And you have the same God, the Father, who's doing everything to help you make it that I have, that Brother Hagin had, Dr. Billy Graham had. Maybe your hero is Martin Luther. You know, it doesn't matter who your hero is. Hopefully your hero is Jesus, but... Oh, that bug jumped off that screen. I thought it was going to get me.
Yeah. Made you duck, didn't it?
Fly away, little bug. Now, so I encourage you. This is our word for tonight. Man, I don't even think we got five verses tonight, did we?
Yeah. John, and I mean 3 John 2:1 and 2.
5. Well,
I don't know. 53 and also 54 verse 17.
Amen.
So that makes 5 verses.
Amen. Thank you, fellas.
Well, I had to write the verses down in order for me. If I happen to get on Marco Polo tonight and talk to my grandchildren, I'll make them listen to all this.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. And that's a powerful answer about you not being sick. Amen, Dave. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, Dave is not sick.
Amen.
Say it with me, Dave. I am the healed. I am the healed. Jesus took stripes for me. Therefore, I am the healed. And I'm living from healing, not trying to get healed. I'm living from salvation, not trying and hoping that salvation will take place someday. As soon as you ask Jesus to do it, he has already done it. Matter of fact, with Jesus, it was done before the foundation of the world, that you and I get to walk in it and be a blessing. Now, I'm getting ready to pray, but see if I can get this where everybody can see it. See that little smiley face on my arm there? Everybody ought to get one of those. Because
yeah.
I got mosquitoes flying all around this light above me.
I have not been touched even by one.
Yeah.
I have not been touched by one.
Amen.
Mosquito.
Me either.
I tell you, these things are amazing.
Yeah.
But then again, it could be also be God.
It is also God. Thank you, Brother Michael. It's just a little smiley face. You stick it right there. You can put it on your cheek, but I don't think I'd like it that close to my face. But honestly, I have not had one mosquito on me tonight at all.
Yeah,
how amazing is that? Of course, the anointing's out here on the deck tonight, and I thank God for his wonderful presence. I like doing it outside. I don't seem to mind the bugs flying around, just as long as they don't fly in my mouth while I'm trying to talk.
Yeah.
I do think that the next time I will have a brighter light over there so that all the bugs will go to the other bright light rather than to me. But anyways, thank God for his wonderful presence in our life. You know, I want to say this about all of us here. You and I, it may seem, have asked every question that could be asked about God. If you think about it, since we began, we have had probably 100 question and answer sessions on Saturday nights. That's 2 years of 50 weeks. There you go. Turn that light in.
Oh.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Now, but this is the reality. Just like Mary said tonight, like Roger said last night, you need chicken wire to keep the mosquitoes away in Arkansas.
Goodness.
Well, everybody would say that it's too early for mosquitoes here, but I have seen them tonight. They just not landed on me.
Yeah.
But really seriously about tonight, it is so important for you and I. Oh, it's so important for you and I to realize God has no grandchildren. He only has children.
Amen.
You have the same God in Jesus and Holy Spirit that I have and that your greatest hero has. And since God has no grandchildren, he's going to treat us all the same. You might not have the skills to treat all your children the same. And it would be tempting for you to believe that God couldn't treat a billion of us differently and be focused on us. But remember, he's the creator, and we're the creation.
Yeah.
And the creator always has power over the creation. And so he knows exactly how to reach you and me. And I encourage you that for tonight, that you get this thought down inside of you tonight. And that is this. I am God's child. I am God's child. He loves me. And I have the same Bible. I have the same opportunity. I have the same God. And all I got to do is learn who he is inside of me. That's all I got to learn is the Holy Spirit belongs in me. Now I'm going to get him. And you can't compare yourself to me. I'm not going to compare myself to you. As much as I love Dr. Barclay, I do not compare myself to him. Why? He's got to live his own life. I got to live mine. I've been to him many times and said, Pastor, I just want to live like you do. You live a good life. But I don't, I'm not trying to copy him. That doesn't do any good. God didn't make me Mark Barclay. He made me Sam Cottle. He didn't make you Sam Cottle. He made you, you. And it's when you be you that this whole world is blessed in Jesus' mighty name. I've said it 52 different ways, and we're going to be done early tonight, just not late.
But we need to do communion.
And it's time to do communion. Let's all.
Well, once they get back.
Let's all.
Want me to go get them?
Let's all pray. You can tell them we're getting ready for communion if you want. Yep. Thank you, Michael.
If they
want
to come out, or I can take stuff into them if they'd rather be there.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for your word tonight.
Thank you for your word tonight.
Thank you that it is alive and well.
Thank you that it is alive and well.
On the inside of my life.
On the inside of my life.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
That you gave me the ability.
That you gave me the ability.
And the assignment.
And the assignment.
To use my words.
To use my words.
And control my life.
And control my life.
And I do it every day.
Every day.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. You know, Phyllis.
Yeah.
When you're on the phone like this,
uh-huh.
It's got the old radio sound to it, like you're just you're like your old radio broadcaster. It's pretty cool sound.
Yeah.
So since you're from Louisiana, you need to give a aha every now and then while you're preaching. You can't be a Southern preacher without having the uh-huh in there.
Oh, really? Yeah, but I'm a grandmother.
Oh.
Yeah, and so whenever I come across a grandmother Phyllis, you'll know it's me.
I remember listening to some of them old preachers on the radio, and you couldn't understand what they were saying because they had too many uh-huhs in there. It became the most important word. In their whole Bible, if you know what I mean.
Michael, could you do me a huge favor?
Anyway.
Could you take communion into them?
All right. Here we go.
Thank you so much.
Don't start until I
get. Yeah, amen. That's what's happened, brother. Sister Phyllis is on the phone with us. That's right. I don't know what I'll do because I can only have one person on the phone with me at a time, so... You know, we got to solve this problem so we can get Sister Phyllis or anybody else connected in any way that we can so that anybody that wants to be with us can be with us in Jesus' name.
They're trying calling you on Blog Talk, but they always tell me that they don't have anything scheduled for the next 24 hours, no matter when I call.
Isn't that something? You should be able to call in during any of our live programs. Well, no, because noon prayer, I'm not on Blog Talk Radio, but always in the evening. Well, let me say it differently. Most times in the evening I'm here, but that's interesting. I don't turn it on till 7:30 now, so maybe you're calling before then. That's interesting. I'll work on that with you. I'll work on that with you. Yes, Sister Phyllis is Southern. Sister Phyllis is a Southern woman of God. That means don't mess with her or her kids.
Especially my grandkids.
Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Wow. Now, She is from Slidell, right?
I'm sorry, between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, that's Springfield.
Springfield. Between
yeah.
New Orleans and Baton Rouge. Brother Dave's asking what part you're from. He's probably got relatives down there. You guys heard of the Tater family, haven't you? Spectator, imitator, procrastinator. And the relatator. Here we go. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I'm having a hard time getting very serious tonight, but I hope you all have enjoyed our program. I have. Now let's receive communion. For those of you who are with us, this might be your first time to receive communion. You might say, what in the world is this program? It's just, let me say it like it is. This program is called Establishing Your Faith. These people that are connected to it are the community of faith. And we want you to come and be a part of it with us. Our teacher is Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the book is the Bible, the greatest textbook of faith there's ever been. This program is the program of faith. And we welcome you to come and join us and be a part of us in Jesus' mighty name. This time of communion, I'm going to read the scriptures, salvation, so we know everyone's right with God. And then we'll receive the communion elements. Here we go. Let's read the verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28 and verse 31. Are you there? You reading or are you texting?
Oh, sorry. My brother's having not my actual brother, but my brother David in New York, who is 35, he is having a demonic attack with his dad.
All right.
So, but yeah.
And you're dealing with it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I'm gonna scream at Satan after I receive communion, because that's when I know the Holy Spirit's really listening to me.
All right. 1 Corinthians 11. I was gonna have you read it if you want to. 1 Corinthians 11, 23
yep.
through 28.
Nope. 1 Corinthians?
Yep. 11.
Oh, okay. 11. 23?
Yep.
All right.
If you just stand there next to me, that's good enough.
All right.
My microphone's right here.
Oh, okay. The teaching I gave you is the same that I received from the Lord on the night when the Lord Jesus was handed over to be killed. He took bread and gave thanks for it. Then he divided the bread and said, "This is my body. It is for you. Eat this to remember me." In the same way, after they ate, Jesus took the cup of wine. He said, "This cup represents the new agreement from God, which begins with my blood sacrifice. When you drink this, do it to remember me." This means that every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are telling others about the Lord's death until he comes again. So if you eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in a way that does not fit its meaning, you are sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Before you eat the bread and drink the cup, you should examine your own attitude. If you eat and drink without paying attention to those who are the Lord's body, your eating and drinking will cause you to be judged guilty. That is why many in your group are sick and weak, and many have died. For if we judged ourselves in the right way, then God would not judge us.
That's good.
All right.
That's good. That's good. I think it's pretty awesome reading it out of another translation.
It is.
All right.
I like it.
Now, 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Yeah.
Right.
1 John 4, 17 and 18. Might as well put you to work while you're here.
Yep.
1 John 4, 17 and 18.
If God's love is made perfect in us, we can be without fear on the day when God judges the world. We will be without fear because in this world we are like Jesus. Where God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love takes away fear. It is his punishment that makes a person fear. So his love is not made perfect in the one who has fear.
Amen. His love is made perfect. He is God's perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it. And you can see the value of it. It's giving you the main thought of that translation. but you can see the importance of this one because it nails it right down. There is no fear in love. And Jesus willingly gave himself, and his body was beaten and his blood was shed so that you and I could be made whole. There comes
there
the frogs.
Frogs.
Yep. Here comes the frogs during communion.
Amen.
All right. Now let's pray the prayer of salvation. No matter who you are, I encourage you to pray the prayer with us. Those of you that's on the Zoom with us, if you want to turn your mics on and say the prayer with us, that's perfectly fine. I want everybody to pray the prayer. No matter who you are, if you pray this prayer and you mean it from the depths of your heart, you'll be right with God. And in 60 seconds, your whole life will change. Don't you love it that you can say that? Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
When
I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again the third day.
And you rose again the third day.
Just for me. And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your love, Jesus.
All of your love, Jesus.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
And pray in my heavenly language.
Live a successful life.
As a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Welcome aboard, Kathy Angaroni. Love you, ma'am. Good to have you with us tonight. Good to have you with us. Now,
hi.
You got here just in time for communion.
Oh, good.
Praise the Lord. And just so you know, we've been blessing you and Matt and Bella and Joey and just hard after that thing. God's blessing be on your family.
Well, I just talked to George Cassica. He was hearing me. And wouldn't go to bed. Tonight, he is good. He is fine.
Amen. Well, we have come against this, and our prayer was heard in heaven, and we know God has heard our prayer. We know no weapon formed against us can prosper, and we know that Joey is free from this autism.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
He needs to be anointed by you.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, Michael. Amen. Now, what just happened, Pastor? Well, Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, just came in. And faith in himself just filled your whole life.
And I put weight upon my own.
And then the Jesus, the light of the world, just everything that Jesus is just filled your being because you said, I want you to come into my life. What did it do? It brought your spirit man back to life from Adam's death of his spirit. And now you have a relationship with the Father you've never had before. You are reconciled. You have been brought back into right relationship with the Father, which is what happened. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have a quick testimonial that's pretty funny today. So my name is Michael. And the lady I never knew today on Sabbath at my Sunday Adventist church came unto me, and she wanted to sit with me, and she said I want you to read some things to me from the Bible or the Gospel. And I was like, okay, what are we reading? And she said, I want you to read to me the four scriptures of Saint Michael.
Saint Michael.
Yeah. The archangel.
And?
No, that was it.
That was it. All right. And amen. Did you read it?
Yeah.
All right.
To her face. Yeah. And in the end, she was trying to tell me that she could see in my eyes that I've been hurt for a very long time. So she tried finding a scripture for me that talked to her. She couldn't remember it. But this lady's from this lady's from South Africa.
Wow. South Africa, wow.
Yeah, that's, and if anyone knows, that's a very powerful demonic place.
Yeah.
And yet has
very
some...
Very Holy Spirit filled as well.
And very Holy Spirit filled as well. Amen? Mm-hmm. Well?
Yeah, so she was trying to give to me, she was telling me that, you know, God is with you and that you, every day you should pray each morning that God gives you the happiness that you deserve every day.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And she was trying to find a scripture for me that talks about a man's little being or something. She said it was in Psalms, but she couldn't remember exactly.
Well, you know, and so what Michael has just said about what we're saying right now, when Jesus comes in, then it fills every part of your life.
Oh,
and
God.
It's not long, and other people are beginning to see it in you. And that's exactly what we're seeing in our brother right here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got an amazing testimony. Some night we'll have to have him testify and have him put it down in 3 points and a poem so that we can have it very focused of his testimony, because he's got a powerful testimony.
Oh, I have many powerful
of what Jesus.
I have testimonies about demons possessing people. And then this 18-year-old that got possessed, that was possessed, called me. And her demon was talking to me.
We got to finish the communion. We'll get with that in a little bit. Now, here's what you do for the rest of your life. Is you walk with God every single day. That's what you're hearing out of Michael right now. And he's fired up because of everything that God's doing in his life.
I've been through so much.
Every day.
Such a short time. And I just know God is just willing to just throw anything at me.
And it's an amazing thing. Now, here's what we're going to do. They put my email address and website in there so that you have the ability to contact us. It's in the comment. It's in the notes of every one of our programs, Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, Facebook Live. It's always there. You can go to the website, SamuelJCottle.com, get in contact with us. We got over 600 videos we'd love to take you through. And it doesn't matter what you're dealing with, we got a video for it. It's already made and it's sitting there. And it's in the same format is what we have right here, where we're just talking to people, having a good time. And yet the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is very powerful in it. And it doesn't matter which one you listen to. I listen to them right now. I'm the one that was teaching, and everyone I listen to, I'm like, man, that's really good revelation. And I had a thought the other day, you know what, I'm just going to start listening to the very first one we did, and I'm going to go through them all again and just learn something in God. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit leading us. Anyways, let's get our communion elements. And I've not been told to go short. I've just been told not to go long. Ready? Let's bless our elements. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father in Jesus' name.
All of you on Zoom, you're welcome to turn your mic on and say it with us. I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you.
You were wounded.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit,
in my soul, and in my body.
in my mind, my will, and my emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
In my life ever again.
In my life ever again.
Thank you for your broken body, Jesus.
Thank you for your broken body, Jesus.
Bless the body of Christ in my community.
Bless the body of Christ in my community.
Right here in this community of faith.
Right here in this community of faith. In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive this broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That you endured the cross. And you called it all joy. That you might know us. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. Pray it with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life. I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
And all things have become new. And I thank you for it. By the blood of Jesus. I come boldly to the throne room of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus. Every plague has to pass over.
Cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be. The glorious church. Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Let's receive bloodshed. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, let's sing our Blood of Jesus song. We like to sing. How about we sing, Oh, the Blood of Jesus. Is that why 3 years ago, or many years ago, funeral homes used to have 3 days of viewing?
I got to go pray demons away.
All right. Bless you, man. Love you. right. Now, I'm not quite sure about that, Brother Rodney. I've never looked into that before. 3 days. I would think that that's probably about as long as the body can withstand, yeah. And that's probably the practical side is that's probably how long it takes people to get there.
That's true, too.
In order for people to be able to be there and be with them. Yeah. And a funeral and memorial service is always a point of closure for people, which is the most important thing. Naturally, the person's not in the body for 3 days laying there dead. The moment they cross from this life to that, they were immediately on the other side. So it's not for them. It's for you and me and people to have closure. Usually that's what that's all about. Now, Sister Phyllis, Brother Dave Villiard said he's from Hope, Arkansas. Is that close to you?
Yeah, really. My son Jim was a preacher up in Arkansas, and so he, you know where that is.
Yeah. All right. I thought maybe Hope, Arkansas was like right. I do not know Louisiana or Arkansas, so I know a lot of things, but I don't know that. I don't even know if you guys are you on the same borders.
I'm in
South
Louisiana, and Arkansas is north of Monroe.
Right. 4 or 5 hours. Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, Brother Roger, the reason we're not going long tonight is I need to have sleep because tomorrow we're going to be driving, and we want to get up early enough to be at Dr. Winston's for church, and that is at 0700 Chicago time. And it's about how long?
3.5 hours.
And we're 3.5 hours away, so somewhere about 4 a.m, we're going to have to be rocking and rolling out of here. So if I stay up real late talking to you guys, then I create a situation for myself on the other end. And Sister Leanne likes me a whole lot more when I sleep. Well, thanks for being with us tonight.
Yes,
everybody say it again. No weapon formed against me.
No weapon formed against
me.
And prosper.
Every tongue that rises against me.
Every tongue that rises against me.
I do condemn. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus.
I want to say this again tonight. And for every person we prayed for that has autism, I have never dropped off my prayer on that, and I will not, because that is a spirit of infirmity that has no right in your life or anyone that's around you. And I declare that spirit is bound, and your relative, your friend, is set free in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And I declare peace to their being. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, we'll see you tomorrow. Somewhere in the Windy City for our 1 hour of faith. We might be sitting in the top of Dr. Winston's balcony just streaming live with you. Probably better not try that. That might not be a good idea. Big security guy might come and see me, but anyways. All right. Thank you for your love, your prayers. Keep North Dakota in your prayers. No more blizzard. We can handle the snow to come straight down and lay there and melt. But besides that, no more blizzard. In the mighty name of Jesus. Till we see you again, and I got to go. Here comes the evening wind. Here comes.
Yeah.
Till we see you again. Sister Phyllis, give us our closing verse.
24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen,
and amen, and amen. Amen.
Night, guys. We love you.
So remember this. We love you. God loves you. Jesus is Lord. And the frogs are singing.
And the frogs are singing.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Night, guys. Love you.
Love you, guys.
Good night. So thank you for calling me.